Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our theme today is part of the process. Prabhupada used to point out that every embodied being is flawed in four ways. Each and every one of us has a tendency to cheat. We're imperfect, we're subject to illusion, and we make mistakes. What that means is, given enough time and circumstances, human failure is inevitable. And when it occurs, if we respond in the wrong way, it can even prove fatal. So how should we think about failing? We know it's not fun. In fact, it's painful. But is there an upside? In an article in Harvard Business Review, author Amy Edmondson observed, "The wisdom of learning from failure is incontrovertible. Yet organizations that do it well are extremely rare. The gap is not due to a lack of commitment to learning, but to thinking about failure in the wrong way." We're building a temple right now up in Salt Lake City in Mill Creek. And at this point, the foundation is poured. Most of the walls are up. The roof is rough. But not being completed, the tools are scattered here and there. There's a big, messy-looking dumpster. Rain last winter got through the holes in the roof, and the particle board on the floor is all in tatters. There's mud everywhere sometimes. Things seem to be placed willy-nilly with no organization. Looks, in fact, like a disaster. However, we don't say that this is not going to work out. Let's give it up. Let's stop building. It's so messy. It's never going to be what we want. We're not going to say that because we know it's all part of the process. You can't build a beautiful building without rain, without mud, without smelly paint, piles of debris, sheetrock, dust. In the same way, you have to see the things that are messy in your life, the things that you struggle with, that seem out of place, as simply under construction. Doesn't mean it's not going to work out. Water in your living room, tools scattered everywhere willy-nilly. The failures, the disappointments, the betrayals, the delay. You may not like it, but it's part of the process. You cannot become all that you were meant to be without some messy places. To the untrained eye, a construction site can look unorganized, random. Can look like a failed effort. But to the architect, it's no big deal. He's not worried. He drew the plans. He knows exactly where everything is going. Prabhupada says here, "We are building temples and developing projects. Not only the finished buildings, but even the messes of construction en route are meant to help us make spiritual advancement. They're meant to bring us closer to Krishna. The architect for your life is Krishna, and he has a plan. The good news is the messy places cannot stop your destiny. The delays, the things that you don't understand, failures, even your own mistakes, they're already taken into account. You may not see how your dream could ever work out. You feel like you're stuck. Well, we're here today to assure you that Krishna has you right on schedule. You're not yet a finished product. He's still working on you. What he started, he's going to bring to completion. Maya, the enemy, whose job it is to keep us rotating in this material world, she's going to whisper in your ear. Others maybe, but not you. You have too many flaws. You have too many weaknesses. You've made too many mistakes. When you hear the voice of the accuser, just remind her, hey, I'm under construction. I may have some messy places, but God's not finished with me. I may not be there yet, but instead of beating myself up, living with negative recordings replaying in my head, my attitude is I'm a masterpiece in the making. Maya says, but you still have that addiction. Yes, but I'm under construction. You still have that temper. You still say things you shouldn't. Yes, but I'm better than I was last year. I'm growing. I'm coming up higher. And I know this. What Krishna started, he is going to finish. You have to look beyond the mess to see the masterpiece. Heard a story about a young boy named Walter Elias. He was born in the city, but his parents moved out to the country to become farmers. Walter had a vivid imagination, and the farm was a perfect place for a young boy on a wandering mind. One day, in the apple orchard, he was amazed when he saw sitting on a branch of one of the apple trees an owl. He just stood there and stared at the owl. He thought about what his father had told him about owls. Owls always rested during the day because they hunted throughout the night. This owl was asleep. He also thought this owl might make a great pet. Being careful not to make any noises, he tiptoed over sticks and leaves. The owl was in a deep sleep and never heard Walter Elias walking towards it. Finally, standing under the owl, he reached up and grabbed the owl by the legs. Now, the events that followed are a little bit hard to explain. Suddenly, it hit the fan. Everything was in chaos. The owl came to life. Walter's thoughts about keeping the bird as a pet were quickly forgotten. The air was filled with wings and feathers and talons and screaming. In the excitement, Walter held the legs tighter. And in his panic, Walter Elias, still holding on to the owl, threw him to the ground and stomped him to death. After things calmed down, Walter looked at the mess of the dead and bloody bird, and he began to cry. He ran back to the farm, obtained a shovel, and buried the owl in the orchard. At night, he would dream of that owl. As years passed, he never, ever got over the mess that had happened that one summer day. Deep down, it affected him for the rest of his life. As an older man, Walter Elias Disney never killed any creature again. Something from the mess of that day transformed Walt Disney. Something that redeemed him from the pit of despair. Something made him give life to thousands and thousands of animals on the big screen and in his theme parks. I recently read this on the internet, tourist information for Disney World. I like to think it's all by design coming down from the founder. It says, Disney World is one of the easiest vacation spots in the world for vegetarians to find a great meal. Did you know that? You can expect the typical high-caliber Disney response to your needs, and you'll find vegetarian dishes at just about every dining location. No matter where you are or what your budget, you'll find tasty, vegetarian, non-violent, cruelty-free choices in the theme parks and resorts. Here, God says in Srimad Bhagavatam, prior to the cosmic creation, only I exist. And no phenomena, either gross, subtle, or primordial. After creation, only I exist in everything. And after annihilation, I remain eternally. The sages see me as the unifying force field transcending the so-called good and bad of this material world, end quote. Echoing this Vedic theme, a Western philosopher named Hegel, he used a three-valued logical model to explain the creative process: abstract, negative, concrete. Hegel used this writing model as a backbone to accompany his points in many of his works. The formula, abstract, negative, concrete, suggests a flaw or an incompleteness in any initial thesis. It is too abstract and it lacks the negative of trial, error, and experience. For Hegel, the concrete, the synthesis, the absolute must always pass through the phase of the negative or human failure in the journey to completion. This is the essence of what is popularly called Hegelian dialectics in the West, or from a Vedic perspective, it's the creation through chaos construct. What am I saying here? The messy places are all part of the process. It may be uncomfortable. You don't understand it. You may even have brought the trouble on yourself. But when Krishna designed your plan, he took it into account. Despite wrong choices, despite dysfunction, despite failures, he can get you to where you need to go. It's not an excuse to live sloppy, undisciplined. But if you keep God first place, you'll come to know that to err is not only human, but it's also a necessary part of the process. Closed doors, mistakes, breakups, betrayals are the bridge between where we are at present and where we need to be. The above quote says, while most people only dream of success but don't want to get their hands dirty, those who succeed wake up and work for it. Referring again to Hegelian dialectics, if you are to start with an abstract A, that man is created to transform, and you're to end at C with a complete, that man reflect the glory of God, then the connective tissue B between what we are now and what we are to become is the negative. It's failure. Practical example. This is what Thomas Edison said of his experiments to produce a working light bulb. Before I got through, he recalled, I tested no fewer than 6,000 materials for filaments and ransacked the world for the most suitable filament material. The electric light has caused me the greatest amount of study and has required the most elaborate experiments. I was never myself discouraged or inclined to be hopeless. I could not say the same for all of my associates. Genius is 1% inspiration, we've all heard this before, and 99% perspiration. In other words, between the abstract concept and the complete invention of a workable light bulb, he passed through 6,000 negatives, 6,000 failures. Well, true, my situation is too messy. I have water in my living room, mud on my floors. It's part of the process. It doesn't mean that Christian's not going to finish what he started. And why don't you quit beating yourself up? Because you're under construction. When Krishna brings you to completion, when he delivers you from the addiction, when he turns your family situation around, he's not going to bring up your weaknesses, your past mistakes, and your failures. We all have messy places when we're under construction, but those are not going to keep you from becoming a masterpiece. Scaffolding is necessary during the construction of a building. It's ugly, it's unsightly, but it's necessary in the short haul. Once the building is completed, they don't leave the scaffolding up. First thing they do is take it down. Without the scaffolding, you couldn't have got that building to where you want it to be. But once the building is completed, scaffolding goes, first thing. Don't go through life against yourself, focused on your failures, focused on the times you blew it. We have enough people and circumstances already coming against us. We don't have to be against ourselves. We have to be at peace with being under construction. We're going to have some messy places, things we don't understand, some weaknesses that we haven't overcome. Bill Gates said, it's fine to celebrate success, but it's more important to heed the lessons of failure. This is a relevant quote from the Foundation for Economic Education. It's an article entitled, The Importance of Failure. Quote, failed entrepreneurial activity is just as important as successful entrepreneurial activity. Markets are desirable not because they lead smoothly to improved knowledge and better coordination, but because they provide a process for learning from our mistakes and the incentive to correct them. It's not that entrepreneurs are just good at getting it right. It's also that they, like all of us, can know when they've got it wrong and obtain the necessary information to get it right next time. In this view, failure drives change. While success is the engine that accelerates us towards our goals, it's failure that steers us towards the most valuable goals possible. Once failure is recognized as being as important as success in the market process, it should be clear that the goal of society should be to create an environment that not only allows people to succeed freely, but to fail freely as well. C.S. Lewis followed this up. He said, the enemy sets people to being preoccupied with their failures. From then on, the battle is won, for she has taken them out of the action. Maya will work overtime, reminding you of everything you've done wrong, trying to talk you out of your destiny. Instead of believing those lies, our message today is, don't go around guilty with no passion. Why don't you turn it around? Say, Lord, thank you that you're still working on me. I know this is a mess, but I'm under construction. Despite my shortcomings, my failures, you're still going to get me to completion. Where you are now is not necessarily important. It's where you're going. Here's the point. Let God make you and mold you. Stay pliable. We should be better this year than we were last year. Don't let the mess become permanent, the addiction, hot temper, negative attitude. That's not who you are. Keep growing. Keep resisting those temptations. Every time you do the right thing, it gets a little bit easier. There's nothing wrong with being under construction. But there is something wrong with not making any progress. Do your part. Be willing to change. Then Krishna or God will do his part. He'll help you to come up higher. If you've ever visited a large city, you probably had the chance to watch a skyscraper under construction. For the first 6 months or so of the project, all you see is this huge hole in the ground. To build a tall building by starting far below the surface doesn't seem logical, doesn't seem sensible, it even seems crazy. But as you would suspect, there's a very good reason for the large hole. To build a mammoth building, it's first necessary to dig down until a strong foundation can be built, one that's capable of supporting the skyscraper. A doghouse doesn't need a foundation. And an ordinary house can be built on little more than a concrete slab. But a skyscraper, that's different. It requires a deep and solid foundation. So it is in our spiritual life. Our upward potential is totally dependent upon the foundation underneath it. Sometimes when you see a construction site, you can't tell whether something's going down or something's going up. The taller the building, it seems like the deeper the foundation has to go. And when it's finished, you can't even see the foundation. It's underground. Yet you could argue that it was in fact the most important part. They could build a huge tower, but if it didn't take time to put in the proper foundation, it wouldn't last. Sometimes in our life, we know we're supposed to be going up. We have big dreams, big promises in our hearts, but it feels the opposite. It feels like we're going down, not growing, not seeing good breaks. What we may not realize is that Krishna is working on our foundation, our character, how we treat people, how we respond to adversity. We don't like these times because they're a little painful. However, they're incredibly important. Why? The deeper the foundation, the higher the building. Don't get discouraged when things are not happening on your timetable. Krishna knows what he's doing. Keep passing the tests. When you're good to people that aren't being good to you, your foundation is going deeper. Krishna will not release what he has for you until he knows you can handle it. It would not be a blessing if he gave it to you and you weren't ready. Imagine there's an 80-story building designed for you, but only a 40-story foundation goes in. Might be easier, might be quicker, but that would ultimately be disastrous. Don't fight the foundation work. Don't get sour because things are not moving as fast as you'd like. Things are happening that you can't see. Foundation is going down deeper. You're being prepared to go to newer levels. And at the end of the day, your feet should be dirty, your hair messy, and your eyes sparkling. You may be in a messy situation. People may have come against you, may have made mistakes, you've had bad breaks. Krishna is saying to you today, it's not over. It's part of my plan. We're not going to understand everything that happens because God's ways are not our ways. But if you will keep in faith, honoring him in your life, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you're not going to miss your destiny because you had a rough childhood, because somebody walked out and broke your heart, because people tried to stop you from your dream. God has the final say. Tune out all those voices saying, you blew it, you had your chance. Krishna would not have allowed that if it wasn't going to facilitate your getting to where you need to go. It's all part of the process. True, I'm working in a job I'm overqualified for. I have so much more in me. This seems like a mistake. Krishna knows that where you are is not your final destination. He would not have allowed this had he not a purpose for it. Do you think that God is so precise that he causes the earth to rotate down to the exact millisecond and he's then going to falter on your plan? He's going to let something happen in your life that catches him by surprise. If Krishna made a mistake with you, you'd be the first one. What I'm saying is trust him while you're under construction. Trust him in the messy places. Trust him when you're sure it's a mistake. Sometimes God has to take us backwards before he takes us forward. He has to dig down deep before we can go up higher. He has to prune you before you can bloom. If you stay in faith, you are going to see how it's all going to work out for your own good. Georgia Tech football played the University of California in the 1929 Rose Bowl game. A player on the California team picked up a fumble, got confused, and ran the whole length of the field in the wrong way. A teammate tackled him just before he would have scored a touchdown against his own team. At halftime, the players went into the dressing room and sat down, wondering what the coach would say. This young man sat by himself, put a towel over his head, and cried. When the team was ready to go back on the field for the second half, the coach stunned the team when he announced that the same players who started the first half would start the second half. All the players left the dressing room except this young man. He wouldn't get up. The coach looked back as he called him again and saw that his face was wet with tears. Player said, "Coach, I can't do it. I ruined you. I've disgraced the university. I can't face the crowd in that stadium again." Then the coach put his hand on the player's shoulder and said, "Get up and go back in. The game is only half over. We've got a chance to correct any mistakes that we made in the first half." That player's name was Roy Regals. He's become known throughout history as Wrong Way Regals. However, what is generally not known, in the next season, Roy Regals was named on the 1930 All-American football team. When you read about the story, you think, what a great coach he had. If you're familiar with the epic Mahabharata, Yudhisthira, the eldest of the Pandava brothers, lost his entire kingdom by playing a game of dice that he already knew was crooked. What a colossally boneheaded move. He landed him, his wife, and brothers in exile for 14 years, after which they had to fight a huge battle. Even though at times it looked hopeless, Yudhisthira knew this truth. Krishna always ends in all is well. And so if not all is well at present, it means it's not the end. If there are things holding you back, things out of place, things that are messy, means you're under construction. Don't get discouraged. Krishna is still working. After 14 years, the Pandavas not only recovered what they had lost, but got back twice what they had before the troubles. You could not find any place in any scripture where someone did not do something significant and not have messy places associated with it. Times it wasn't fair. Times they made mistakes. Times they felt underqualified. But when it all came together, it made sense. They went from under construction to completion. Here's the key. You cannot completely judge the construction process when you don't have the plans before you. You may think, I'm done, true, I'm finished, I made too many mistakes, the sidelines for me, I missed my destiny. But if you had the plans, and that's what they said, I would agree with you. The problem is, we don't have the blueprint for our lives. God has them. He says, these plans are for good and not for harm. They're meant to give you a future and a hope. What I have planned for you does not end in defeat and failure, in mediocrity, and addictions, and dysfunction. Your story ends in victory. If you see somebody happy, healthy, loved by their family, you might think that they're just lucky, that things just fell into place. But every person has to go through the construction process. When you see someone blessed, fulfilling their purpose, they didn't get there without messes. Things they didn't understand, people tried to stop them. Our question tonight is, will you trust God while you're under construction? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just briefly, Harsh Chandra in the Vedic scriptures lost his health, lost his business, lost his family. Everything fell apart. And for a while, he was shocked. He was stunned. He was negative, grieving, complaining. But then he brought himself back to a place of peace. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nothing in his circumstances had changed. It was still messy. But he said, Krishna, I know that you can do anything. I know that nobody can stop your plan. And his changing attitude was the catalyst for God to turn it around. And I wonder for ourselves if we, instead of complaining about the mess, instead of being discouraged by what didn't work out, what if we were to say, Father, I want to thank you that nothing can stop your plan for my life. I want to thank you that what you have ordained for me is on the way. We built this house down here in 1987. The floors were there, the walls were there, all the switches were embedded in their places in the walls. The appliances, the counters, the cabinets, everything was there. We called Strawberry Electric, asked them to turn on the power. One day went by the house, flipped the switch. Nothing was happening. Nothing was really useful or livable. Another day went by, tried all the switches, nothing happened. Another day. Finally, after several days, we went to the house and we flipped the switches and the lights came on and we flipped another switch and laundry machine and we flipped another switch and water comes out, flipped another switch and we had smoothies. With one fell swoop, everything got connected, everything burst into life. The only problem had been that the power had not been connected. Similarly, if you kept in faith, if you've had your trust in God, you've been good when people haven't been good to you, you've kept in first place, I believe that you're coming into one of these connections. You've been on the verge of it, you've been skirting around it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You've learned the art of jumping from one failure to another without any loss of enthusiasm. You've learned that negative is not failure. Negative is the bridge to cross the ocean of birth and death. You've made the transition with joy. You crossed over with faith. Your character has been coming up higher. You're about to see God flip the switch. Suddenly the doors open. Suddenly healing comes. Suddenly the right person shows up. Suddenly that temple gets built. You're about to go from construction to completion. Those things that are hindering you, you're coming out the other side. Better off than you were before. Wiser than you were before. More faithful and trusting than you were before. Despite mistakes that you may have made, you are still going to achieve your destiny, still going to become everything that Krishna has created you to be in this life, and in the next life, you're going to go back home, back to Godhead.